Good evening. I'm Glenn Nesbitt. And I want to welcome each and every one of you, ladies and gentlemen, here to the first meeting of 2010 to the Northeast Fort Worth Mineral Leasing Task Force. I want to welcome you and thank you for coming out tonight. Does me good to see as many people interested in their community tonight. And I'd like to open with Meet Your Neighbors. I'd like for each of you to turn around and shake hands with the person beside you, get in front of you, and introduce yourself and so forth and so on.
Hello. Hi, I'm Chris Armstrong.
Nice to meet you. That's nice to know everybody knows everybody. Know who your neighbors are. My wife would like me to ask you folks if everybody received one of the surveys here. If you didn't, she'll pass them out. Just hold up your hand there and she'll pass them out for you. This is headed to your opinion counts, and believe it or not, your opinion does count right here in this room and right here in this neighborhood, in the neighborhoods that you live in. Your opinion certainly counts. And we want to give everybody the opportunity to express their opinion by filling out one of these forms and turning it back in for the task force. At this time, I'd like the task force members to please stand up. We've got Tim there. You stand up. They're all not here tonight. Some of them had other commitments. Would you please tell who you are and what area you support?
My name is April Morgan, and I support the Sandy Ridge Estates. Basically right behind the school over in this area.
Tim Mass with the Sandy Ridge neighborhood.
What neighborhood, Tim?
Sandy Brook.
That's off of 820. Between Randall Mill and John T. White off 820 to the east side of the freeway there. And at this time, I'd also like to thank Tim Hess for his support tonight, for his speakers and his televised accounts of this meeting. They'll be on the website. Tim will download them and put them on the website if you'd like to go back later on and listen to them. And Tim does a great job. And Tim gave up a pretty important meeting tonight with some tickets to a meeting just to show his support here. And my hat's off to you, Tim. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was an international known speaker.
Your reward will be in heaven. We're not going to have a bunch of lengthy speakers. We're going to try to relate some of the information that we have to you. There have been lots of changes in the past year since we've had the last meeting. And, you know, nothing stays the same forever. Everything was kind of dormant for the last year because of the economy. And now then, the economy seems to be shaking just a little bit. on an upward spiral, and you can tell that by some of the gas companies who are out, got their little ever-ready guys out ringing doorbells and sending out nastygrams and trying to con people out of their mineral lease. And we're here tonight to talk about some of that and encourage you to stay committed to the task force, because there's strength in numbers, like we've always said. There's strength in numbers. And also, this opinion, this kind of gives us an update. When you fill this out and turn it in, that lets us know your thoughts and your opinion on what you're willing to do, how much you're willing to take for your minerals, how much you want for your royalties, and what you really want. Each individual in here will want something different. And that kind of gives us something to go on to. Plus it gives us a way to update our computer system and get all the proper information in it. Tonight will be a brief question and answer session. As we go, we will take the questions as we go along. And if you've got a question, you jot it down on a piece of paper or something there, or hold up your hand and we'll answer it as quick as we can. Any questions that you might want to ask myself or any of the task force members or the attorney. We have the attorney here tonight, Mr. John Barber. Hold your hand up. He's here tonight. And
you ready for a question?
Yes, go ahead, George.
That's a shallow mind. I got to go fast, you know. I understand forest pooling is probably our best bet that we'll get our greatest revenue from being forest pooling. But if we're put in forest pooling, do we retain our mineral rights, or does it automatically get passed off as if we sign the law?
John will get to that, and when he makes his speech here in a little bit, he'll answer that forest pooling. I think that's on his list of things to do there. I don't want to, you know, tell you that and him have to come back and kill it again. I'm just kind of getting him started down the road here.
Okay.
Like I say, if you're having any questions, just jot them down or hold up your hand, and we'll get to them as quick as we can. We're not going to wait till after the program to ask questions, because it's important. Your questions are very important, and you need to be answered at the time you ask them. And we're going to try to do that tonight rather than wait till the end of the program. I brought maps and stuff to the meeting. The big gray looking map hanging up and down on the wall there, you're welcome to go look at them at any time. That one in the middle is about 3 months behind, they told me this past week when I picked it up. But it's all the gas lines and wells in the northeast Fort Worth quadrant of Fort Worth, and includes all this area here down to East Lancaster. And that takes in all of us up through Colleyville even. And that tells you the oil well, the gas wells that are pumping, the gas wells that are permitting, the gas wells that are abandoned, and all the pipelines. How many of you drive up and down 820 here? How many of you see that conglomeration of gas lines going under 820? Guess where they're going? They're all going to come right down Trinity River and tie into all these down here precincts. That's the way they get the gas to market. There's a lot of gas wells out here, a lot of pipelines out here. And they're growing every day. How many of you folks in the last 2 or 3 weeks have been approached or have received letters from gas company, Landman. A lot of people in here.
And I've also, we had a man stop by for one on a geography.
Geology?
Right there in the middle of the John T. White Road. They want to stop this commission first, plus run that line after the geology survey.
You know what that's for?
See within the basin, I guess.
There you go. That's a good answer. That's to see if there's, if it's beneficial for them to drill, if there's any gas down.
They haven't done that once on my place about 2 years ago. They run from the front to the back.
I guess you got rich off that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now we never got the $27.
$27. Well, they're too busy buying other things. Anybody ever pick up the paper? What do you see when you pick up the Fort Worth Star Telegram? It's either, half of it is they're applying for gas leases at various places. The other half is, well, we give Harper and McClendon $125 million bonus this year. Exxon buying XTO. What does that tell you? Everybody getting rich except us.
Everybody getting money for free.
There you go. And that's one of the reasons I'm here tonight. That's what you see when you pick up the paper every day. I guess the Dale people have offered you guys lots of money. Anybody have been offered $2,000 an acre?
Oh, yes.
Anybody offered more than that?
$3,000?
I'm sorry, Dale.
$25. That's what upsets me, that you're sitting around here with about five different prices bidding for the same thing.
Where's this $3,000 at? That's the biggest one they've offered.
But they fail to tell people in subdivisions who have considerably less than an entire acre now that $2,500 is prorated. So if you have a tenth of an acre, you're talking $250, not $2,500.
Woo! Richville! $2,500 an acre if you got 2/10 of an acre? Not bad.
Not good enough gas to get the bank around.
That's how long their lease is holding.
You know what they're doing tonight at City Council? Everybody knows where Meadowbrook Golf Course is. They're applying for a gas lease tonight for the Meadowbrook Golf Course, which is a city owns, and they're giving them $4,700 an acre. Council's supposed to be voting on it tonight.
Is there any way we can find out what the city of Fort Worth is going to want for their rental rights? So they start with this school up there across the street from my house. They got about 15 to 16 acres there. Fort Worth ISD bought it out of that.
The other guy that sold the land told me he couldn't really maintain the mineral rights.
The Gilberts?
Yep.
Yeah, they did.
He maintained the mineral rights. He leased
it. He kept his mineral rights.
Yeah, he leased it. He leased
it. Yeah, but he didn't sell in order to retain it.
Okay, he leased them before the sale in order to retain.
Oh, yeah, he maintained.
What amazes me is there were quite a few people in here raised their hand, and everybody was, there's three or four different prices that was offered in here. I don't know what the mechanics of that is. I don't know why that is. I do know, you know, some of the information that flies back and forth. Got one here. Read what it says. This came from the Landman Dale. And they're stating, as of today, we're dropping prices in these units to $1,000 an acre. Please advise lessors of gas prices dropping and the fact that the geological geologic in the area is not great, considering Chesapeake plugged a well just north of them. There is no one other than us that will be interested in leasing this area. No competition. How many of y'all believe that? Do you believe they plugged a well? You know what it costs to drill one of those wells? What, $1 million, John? Plus?
More than that.
$1 million+ to drill one of those wells. And I don't think they're just going to plug a well just to say I plugged a well because there's no gas there. And here's another one. This is probably, Chesapeake probably put out 28 letters. Good afternoon. This is the other task force personnel. Would you stand up, please, and tell them who you are and what area you represent?
I am Papa Thorn, and I'm the Senate Division.
Thank you. This is another one that I got. Says leaseors, over the past week or so, I have met with many of you. Many of you asked for a higher bonus payment, and that this will be an attempt to get just that. Just to make sure I have everyone on board, send a quick reply. For those whose email I may have missed, I will either call or stop by tomorrow evening to get you added to the email list. Also, any neighbors you know are also welcome to lease at whatever offer we come up with, so long as they own their minerals, and those minerals are not currently leased. It is very important that we get this deal wrapped up, including lease signed by April 12th. This will probably be the last group offered Chesapeake will entertain for the gas unit due to the poor geological in the gas unit. I am not making any guarantees as to the success of this effort. I look forward to hearing from all 28 of you. Kind regards, Michael Miller, landman for Dale Property. That's the kind of propaganda they're putting out. Apparently, they have supposedly contacted 28 people in this area out here and said they're going to sign a lease. Do I believe it? No. They may have sent 28 letters out to people.
Where is this poor well supposed to be?
Didn't say. That's just some of the tactics that the landman put out. And here's another one that says Chesapeake does not want to pay more than $2,500 per net mineral acre. After April 12th, the price will more likely drop. I encourage you to lease on or before Monday, April 12th, if you want the highest price. Michael Miller, the landman for Chesapeake. It goes on and on and on. How many of y'all believe this stuff? Huh? You believe it?
Well, I believe it, but I was just told that this added another insult to injury. That they went to one of our neighbors, offered her the little measly $2,500 plus a box of chicken.
A box of chicken
to go along with the $2,500 they offered.
They get it out to eat just biscuits to go with it.
$2,500
I had the same thing told me that last year by a lady down in Mallard Cove. She said, I've never had anything to insult me. So.
A box of chicken.
It just,
wow,
you know,
it's
totally unbelievable.
Can't pay taxes on a box of chicken.
Well, I don't.
But they, I did have failed to come and ask for a contact, like some other way to contact me, like an email or my phone number or something like that. I said, you got the best contact, my address, you're not getting nothing else. I said, we will contact you through our association. And he said, so you don't want us calling you? No.
Well, it's, you know, it's, a lot of things are going on out here now. You know, the gas companies and everything are really in tight for more leases, and they'll use every tactic they can. Like you say, that's very insulting.
Very
insulting.
Yeah.
I'm going to yield my rest of my time to Mr. Barber. Like I say, I'm going to stay up the front and help him monitor for questions. And if you run across a question that you need answered, just hold up your hand and we'll get to you as quick as he gets what he's saying and talking about. At this time, I'll turn it over to John.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm not sure I'll be able to stand behind this microphone very long. My name is John Barber. Microphones are great for people who can't hear, but I found it is better to communicate with people when you're out amongst the people, okay? Not behind them like we're speaking from some position of authority, because we're not. We're just like you, and we're trying to do the best we can to form a cohesive group of people to argue for the highest price possible for your minimum. I would like to take just a moment and stress the importance of a lease. An oil and gas lease by law is referred to as a determinable fee. It's a present conveyance of your minimums. So it's extremely important that you recognize that if you sign that lease, that's it. Your minimums are essentially gone in the absence of what lawyers refer to as a Q clause, which means that you would retain all minerals beneath a certain debt stipulated in the lease. Does everybody understand that? It's really inconsequential. The important thing is you want to be absolutely certain before you sign a lease of what you're giving up, if you're going to sign the lease. But I want to refer to what Glenn said. This whole exercise of trying to get these people together as a cohesive force to negotiate an oil and gas lease is the best that you can hope for in order to maximize your recovery and get the highest possible rate, lease bonus consideration, with the highest possible protections for your neighborhood, for yourself, for your neighbors. You owe it to your neighbors to get that kind of protection. And you really think about it, if your neighbors are signing a lease that had no protections in it, what's going to keep the oil company out of your neighborhood? I mean, theoretically, although they're not going to do it in all probability, but theoretically they could build on your neighbor's property. Now, they're probably not going to do that, but I'm just trying to make the point that it's essential that you understand the significance and the importance of the execution of the lease, if you'll like to do that, okay? I just want to emphasize that. Now, this is your program. We got together and talked about it, and I think it's probably important that we begin with an understanding of what has happened. I mean, in the latter part of 2008, I believe it's 2008, please correct me if I'm wrong, prices were going somewhere here in Fort Worth, lease bonus, about $25,000 an acre. And I say that because I was privileged enough to serve on a committee over in Meadowbrook that was successful in negotiating a lease with XTO at the time. Y'all know it's now Exxon. And I think y'all have heard me before. For those of you who haven't been to these meetings before, we were successful getting $25,000 an acre, 25% royalty. But the problem with that lease was that we had to pay a proportionate share of the gas transmission charges, which included compression, dehydration, et cetera, to get their gas to market, although they wanted us to take it was our gas.
Do you think they'll ever come closer?
I'm sorry?
Can you speak up or come closer?
Yeah. Let me just move all this up forward. Is that any better? Can you hear me all right now?
Yep.
Tim asked me to keep the microphone behind the speakers, but it sounded like it's going okay.
Yeah, it does. You can raise the mic a little.
Okay. Is anybody having trouble hearing me?
Not now. Okay.
Don't do it like you're talking to me, yell at them.
Is anybody having trouble hearing me? I really don't like standing behind microphones or having to carry it around, so I will try and speak up. We wanted to give you this opportunity really to ask questions relating to specifically what happens if you say no. There's a lot of rhetoric that's going around, a lot of fears that people may be experiencing about what's going to happen if you don't sign a lease. Landmen have threatened that they're going to come and they're going to drill. I've heard stories where they say that the landmen representing the gas companies have said, we're going to drill anyway, and we'll just keep you out of the unit. Has anyone given any thought to that idea, that concept of being excluded from participation in a producing gas unit?
I heard they could go around.
Well, theoretically they can, but practically they can. I will tell you from experience that ideally a gas company wants to lease up 100%. There are laws that protect people that don't sign a lease, okay? And that's really why I'm here, is to talk about what protections you have as a matter of law. And I have talked briefly about some of those laws in some of these prior meetings. One very important element of the law that I spoke of at these meetings is the Garza Energy Trust decision, which was a subsurface trespass. What happens if they do exactly what you were talking about? They come in and they drill, and they've got a lease from your neighbor, to say from a number of your surrounding acres, but they haven't leased you and they haven't leased a couple of your other acres. Had they trespassed on your mineral estate? Because a mineral trespass is the same as a mineral trespass, or a mineral trespass is the same as a surface trespass. If I have a lease on this side of the cord, I can drill over here. They don't have a lease over here, can they drill? Well, the Garza Energy Trust decision said no, they can't without creating a subsurface trespass, giving rise to treble damages. If you were successful in establishing that they had produced your mineral estate unlawfully without the benefit of an oil and gas lease, which is a license, giving them the right to explore, extract, and produce your mineral estate. So that's real important that you understand. Another thing that I talked about in these meetings before was our Supreme Court came down, and I believe it was in the latter part of 08, maybe the early part of 09, and the Garza Energy Trust decision was an appellate decision that originated out of Lower Rio Grande Valley. And it went up to appeal to the Supreme Court of the state of Texas. And much was written about in the newspaper, for some of you who like to read about these things, about the Garza Energy Trust opinion. Much has been said amongst lawyers about its impact on mineral owners. The effect of the Garza Energy Trust decision was essentially the court did not rule and announced in that opinion that they're not going to side for the gas companies or for the mineral owners. They did not say we're not going to repeal our laws about subsurface trespass. But most lawyers would agree that what it has done, the effect of the Garza decision, was to make it more difficult to establish a subsurface trespass. Now, I would like for you just to focus on that for a minute. How would you establish, to the satisfaction of a court, if it was your burden or your duty to establish that a gas company who had a lease on this side of the line, the money I should withdraw? They have a lease, covering this track. They put a well in here, say there's a track in the middle, and they have a lease over here. I'm not very good at writing. And they go down, and they come across this lease, and this is unleased.
they come across over here to bottom hole. Maybe they have a couple of drilling laterals. Even though the gas company claims that they set this hole behind pipe, have they trespassed on your mineral estate? The Garza Energy Trust, the good thing about that opinion, it's uncertain at this point, but it made incumbent prevailing upon, it made incumbent, the gas company had to establish as a matter of law that they did not trespass. It's impossible to meet that burden of proof if you think about it.
Did they go in the street instead of on the property?
If they had a, well, let me explain. The street is really no different than the property owners adjacent to the street, because you own, even though there's a street that fronts your property, you own to the center of the street. Just like the person on the opposite side of your street would own to the center of the street. Now, there are exceptions to that rule where developers have actually preserved the minerals beneath the roads. But I haven't seen that in this area. We didn't see it in Meadowbrook. And to my knowledge, it doesn't exist in your neighborhood either.
I think we do. Because they widened the road. They came and just widened our road. But we didn't give up mineral rights. Because our yard used to go to the other side of the island on John T. Wright. It used to go to the other side of the island. They came in and widened that road and put an island in there. But we still own those mineral rights under the street. We've never did.
I would say you probably own them to the center of the island.
Because when they gave us so much an acre, it was 1,000 an acre, they gave us the full 3 acres. But we don't have 3 acres now, it's like 2.65, because they came and took. But they, but anyway, they, when we got our check, they paid us.
Was that a question?
Yeah, you were asking.
If we go into the forced pooling, which I understand is the best deal going, unless something else has come up on it now, but if we're putting forced pooling, does that give the gas company our mineral rights in exchange for the forced pooling? So we retain our mineral rights, they just have to pay us for what minerals they take or not?
Well, it would depend upon what the gas company wanted, but essentially you retain the minerals. Let me back up, give a little bit of background information so I can kind of focus for the benefit of the other people who may be uncertain about what you're talking about. If I had a topic for tonight's meeting, it would be the word no. What happens if you say no? Well, eventually the gas companies, in order to protect the investment they already have in your neighborhood, will file a petition to force pooling. Does anybody have any questions about what force pooling is? That's force you to make an election. And there's more than one. It's to force you to make an election, the most obvious of which would be to execute an oil and gas lease on substantially the same terms as your neighbor's sign. Okay? Another option is you can farm out your acreage, essentially, which I won't discuss because I didn't come prepared to really talk about that tonight, and it may confuse people. The third option, and probably the most important, is what happens if you get forced pooling. You didn't sign the lease, and that is really the reason why we elected to hold this meeting, because you can either say yes and sign the lease, and if you do, you better make certain that the protections that you want for the benefit of your family and your neighbors are in there, or you're going to have a problem. It's going to be too late once you sign that lease. So if you don't sign the lease, what are you going to do? Well, if it's John Barber, he's going to say no until I get the maximum amount that I can get for my acre. With all the protections that I want for my benefit, not for the gas company, because between me and the gas company, whose minerals are they? They're mine, and they're yours. They do not belong to the gas company unless you sign a lease. And when you sign a lease, you give it to them. So if you're forced pulled, if you say no, sit here, and the gas companies eventually, if they want to protect a rather sizable investment from buying leases from other mineral owners that own next door to you and in your neighborhood, they will force pull you. They will file a petition, which is a lawsuit, with the Railroad Commission of the state of Texas. Some of you may have read in the Star Telegram that they impaneled 3 Railroad Commission hearing officers here in Fort Worth for that very reason, just to hear forced pulling petitions, because they thought they would hear a lot of them. Now, I'm only aware of one, and that's the Finley Resources. That's the only published opinion that y'all need to be made aware of. Is anybody familiar with Finley Resources' opinion? Well, the important thing you need to know there is, at what point in time is a gas company going to elect a forced pull? And I don't think anyone knows the answer to that question. In the Finley Resources case, it was about a 175-acre unit, and they had all but 3% of the unit leased up. And of that 3%, approximately 1% were absentee mineral owners. They couldn't find them to sign a lease. Another third of that group were people who refused to sign a lease. They said, no, stay out of our neighborhoods. We want protection, we want money, or we just, and if we can't get that, then don't come in and drill. They were spawned. And then the third class of people were people who were on the fence. They couldn't decide. They wanted to sign a lease, but they wanted favorable terms. So the Railroad Commission, upon the application of the oil and gas operator seeking to force pool, force these people to make an election, and if they didn't elect to participate in the unit, they would go non-consent. That means that they elected to, and the Railroad Commission rules, they held. And this is, I would encourage y'all to go read, just type in Finley Resources if you're internet savvy, you know how to surf the net. And I know that that opinion was written by lawyers, for lawyers, but there should be enough of that opinion that you can live or sift from that opinion enough to where you can usurp it to your own advantage and see that the Railroad Commission did all of us a favor. Because all we have to do is say no to gas companies, and the worst possible thing that can happen to you or I is one day there's a knock on the door and there's a deputy sheriff saying, smile, you've been sued, or you go to get the mail and it's a certified letter. And you open it up, and it's not from your loved ones. And it too says, congratulations, you've been sued. You have 20 days to file an answer. Now, if that happens, I have to tell you, I would encourage you to hire a lawyer, because I cannot represent you as a task force, as the task force lawyer before the Railroad Commission. I have to have each individual owner's written consent in order to do that, or I could get in a world of hurt with a bar association. They could take my law license away forever, and I'm not willing to make that risk. So I would encourage you to think about that. What's going to happen if I get forced pulled? Number one, you're going to have to make a decision about a lawyer. That's why we sent out this, or gave you, handed out this flyer, questionnaire for you to complete. It's really important. Now, it doesn't have in there authorization for us to represent your interest, but that's a decision that eventually you will have to make. In the event that becomes a reality, and we have to conclude that if the gas company has enough of our neighborhoods leased up, they're going to attempt to force pools. What that magic number is, I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. And I don't know what the gas companies have established as a magic number. In the Finley case, it was 3%. They drew the line. They said, if we can't lease up 97%, we're not going to file the pooling application. So I don't know. Is it 5%? Is it 6%? Are they going to limit themselves to 3%? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm going to take the position that they're not going to get 3% or less. If there's going to be enough of us who are going to hold out, who are going to say no, it's going to put us back in the posture to where we can negotiate a lease. We're back to saying to the oil companies, if you want to protect your rather sizable investment in our neighborhoods, you're going to have to pay us what we believe our lease is worth. And let me just comment upon that. Glenn already has. Beginning of the latter part of the way, natural gas prices literally went to heck in a handbasket. I would encourage you, if you have a pen in hand, you can watch the market price of natural gas by going to the Henry Hub, that's H-E-N-R-Y-H-U-B, just type in your Google search engine. You can monitor the daily price of natural gas. It's about 30 days behind schedule, but you can find it's pretty doggone close.
Can you repeat that to me?
Henry Hub, H-E-N-R-Y. That's the benchmark natural gas price that all gas operators subscribe to, adhere to, buy by. It's a gauge of essentially what your minerals are worth and what your lease is worth. And we all know that when prices were good and when my group was able to get $25,000 an acre for our lease over there, bonus, minimum $5,000 per lot, it didn't matter whether you owned a 12th of an acre or half an acre. You got more than half an acre, but there was a minimal charge that the gas company had to pay. But the important thing that you have to remember is if we are a forced pool, you need to let someone know, we need your unity, we need to know where you stand if that happens. And I forgot where I was going. What was I talking about? I lost my train of thought.
What was the minimum after the forced pool?
I'm sorry?
Who owns the minimum after the forced pool?
Oh, you do. If you are a forced pool, you're forced to make an election. Essentially, the Family Resources case held that you're entitled to receive 20% royalty cost for royalty. Now, if you listen to the people that are sending out these leases that you want you to sign, you're not getting a royalty interest. They're giving you 25% or whatever royalty they're offering, but it's subject to reduction by your proportionate share of transportation, compression, dehydration charges. So is it really a royalty interest? Well, no, it's not. So why don't you become a working interest owner and go non-consent, be subject to a forced pooling order, and then you will get a minimum of 20%, that's what the Family Resources case held, cost-free. That's yours. Well, it's not as much as 25%, like a lot of you might be thinking, but here's what happens to the balance. Take just a minute to explain what happens to the remainder of the fund. And a pie chart is really the best example. If you go non-consent and you're subject to a forced pooling order, the forced pooling order in the Family Resources case, which is the decision of the Railroad Commission of the State of Texas, it's what lawyers refer to as stare decisis. It's a standing opinion. It's the law of the land. It's what's going to happen until the Railroad Commission issues a new order. And we know that to be true because the Family Resources opinion was not appealed. The appeal lay to the District Court of Tarrant County, and no appeal was filed, so they're stuck. They're stuck with that opinion. The funny thing that has a lot of scholars mystified, baffled, and confused is Chesapeake was a party defendant. They also owned leases that were subject to that same forced pooling order. Now, we all know that they went consent. They didn't go non-consent. They went consent. Nevertheless, they were parties to it, but it wasn't appealed. I found that very interesting that they did, because they're having to live with the results of that decision. Maybe they thought it would come down otherwise. But in that opinion, court held that 20%, you would get that right off the bat, cost-free, free and clear, okay? Now what happens to the balance of the 80%? You have to bear your proportionate share of drilling and completion costs and charges, just as if you were a working interest owner that you'd elected to participate in the well. You have to pay that out of pocket. I'll get to that in a minute. That's very important. Hopefully that got some of your attention. Because in the old days, if you went non-consent, I want you to hear this. In the old days, before the advent of Barnett Shale, if you went non-consent and it was a dry hole, you better get your checkbook out, because you're responsible for payment of your 80%. But I want to comment upon what Glenn said a minute ago. To my knowledge, there's not a dry hole drilled in the Barnett Shale. To my knowledge, there hasn't been a Barnett Shale well drilled that's been a dry hole. And the Railroad Commission talks about it at length in the Finley Resources case. In the Finley Resources case, they talked about there was only one other pooling decision around the state, and they made those parties that went non-consent subject to a 500% penalty. In other words, the oil and gas operator was entitled to take the income stream attributable to this 80%, not the 20%. You get this free and clear. But you got the income stream from this 80% less your proportionate share of drilling and completion charges plus an additional 500%. So they got five times this amount that they got to recover the gas operator before they had to start paying you. But the beautiful thing about the Finley you look puzzled.
I drew a total blank on that one.
It's called a penalty charge.
Well, yeah, I understand that.
If you go non-consent, you start with 100%. 20% of this is going to the mineral owner free and clear, okay? The balance of the 80% is subject to your proportionate share of drilling and completion charges, okay? And also subject to your post-production cost of charges, compression, dehydration, whatever it costs to transport the gas to market.
Yeah.
But that's what, please remember, you don't have to pay that here with this 20%, okay? The only part of your 100% is subject to all those costs. It is a true royalty interest, not 25% plus your proportionate share.
Well, 25% of nothing is still nothing.
Right.
20% of 100%.
But in the long run, the 80% is going to outweigh the 20%.
Well, absolutely.
Then keep taking from you.
Do any of y'all? Yes, sir.
This 100% you're talking about, that's when your forest pool, you're talking about 100% of the gas that's pulled off their property, they own revenue off.
Their proportionate share
right.
of the gas.
20% is free and clear. And of the 80% they're going to charge you their production cost for whatever.
They're going to, and
that's the same thing as you sign the metro for 25%, they come back and get their share of their production cost out of that 25%, correct?
Well, that's just post-production. That they take
production. Okay.
No. See, if you sign a lease, you're never going to get anything but
right.
That's it.
Right.
If you go non-consent, you have 100% to start with. Yeah. That's what's cool.
Right. So yeah. So you're not comparing. I think I'm hearing people say, "Well, yeah, I'm going to take the 80 then the 20, but it's actually all yours. But you're going to take cost for the 80%.
Exactly.
That's where the cost comes out of is the 80%.
Right.
It doesn't come out of the 20%, it comes out of the 80%.
Yeah. Let me explain it this way. This 100% of the income stream, 20% goes directly to you as a mineral owner, cost free. The balance, the 80%, is subject to proportionate share of drilling and completion charges, plus any post-production cost and charges to get the gas to market. Now, if you do the math, we did this math, and I would encourage you, for those of you, you can go to our Telegram website, and you can put in October 31st, that was the magic day. You can pull up, there was a front page article that continued in the business section. When Jim, I think his name was Jim Lee or Mike Lee with the Star Telegram, we sat down, we did the math, and we did it over and over again, we checked it, and it was confirmed essentially that this is a much better deal at $10 for MCF natural gas prices. The maximum of 100% of your interest would be deducted by, if you elected to go non-consent, would be about 13% maximum based on values prevalent on that day. Okay? So what that means is, did y'all understand that? Of your 100%, there's only about 13% of the 80 that's going to be subject to drilling, completion, post-production, cost and charges. If you do the math, and I'm sorry that it occurred to me now that it might have been a benefit to do mathematical breakout on a $10 basis so you can see. But you will see that your royalty, if you like to go non-consent, your forest pool, I haven't run the math on today's natural gas prices at $5 or less than $5 for MCF. But at $10 for MCF, you would come out way ahead of the game. And the gas companies don't want you to know the secret. They will do anything to keep you from knowing about it. Now, it's not really a secret. It's common knowledge if you just take the time to understand conceptually what's going on here, because the spin doctors, the landmen, will put a twist on all of this that will mystify, baffle, and confuse you. And it's really quite simple. It's about an income stream. And the income stream, the value, that is, of that income stream is determined by market value. We all know that the market value is Henry Hub publishes the price daily. It's under $5 per MCF. But all the experts are saying that it's on the upswing. It's going to continue to go up. I've heard different stories. I don't dare opine or make an opinion about where prices are going to end up in the near future. But most experts would agree that they're going to climb to somewhere around $7.50 to $8 for MCF by later this summer, early this fall, or the latter part of the year. That's not quite up to $10. Circumstances could happen that could influence that value. But the important thing is that you understand that it doesn't really matter whether you're getting $10 for MCF or $5 from MCF, because all you have to do is remember to take these simple principles, apply them to a formula on a dollar basis, you can divide by one half if you're getting $5 per MCF, or you can multiply times two. If you're getting $10 per MCF, you can watch the natural gas price and see what your barrels are worth in the ground, unleased, simply by saying no, until you are forced to make this election that everybody knows and loves is forced pooling.
Let's see if I've got this straight, if I totally understand. Of 80%, approximately 13% would be subject to expenses. So that means 67% that isn't. You add back the 20% that isn't, you've got 87%.
Oh, I'm sorry, this 20% is cost-free.
I understand.
So this 80%, because this is cost-free, becomes 100% of the cost attributable to the service.
Okay. Okay, so I'm taking 13% off of the 80% or off of 100%?
Off of the 100% attributable to the service.
Okay, so that gives me 87%. Plus the 20 in addition?
No. Yeah. It's still the income stream is attributable to the overall circle.
Right.
So
we're talking about drilling costs.
All right. If I take 13%,
royalty is different from drilling costs. If you go non-consent, you can be responsible for 100% of the drilling costs.
But I thought only 13% of that 100% is used up in drilling expenses.
That's right.
Okay, so
and that 100% is really the 80%, because you're going to get your royalty anyway, cost for it.
What you're saying is, your 20% is set up there, and it's not cut. That belongs to you.
That's right.
Leaves 80% for royalties plus post-production plus drilling costs out of the 80.
That's where the 13% comes in.
Okay, so that means 87% of that 80% is in your pocket.
Okay, that's one way to look at it.
All right, then you turn around and add back that 20% that's cost-free, you have more than 100%.
So 20% depends on how you look at it.
And 20% won't be cost-free because you say post-production off that for it.
It's critically important you understand this 20% by Railroad Commission order is cost free. It's a true royalty. It's not what these landmen want you to believe.
That's not the confusing part.
Well, what it comes down to is, let's say you get $1 per million cubic feet.
Yeah.
We got 1 million cubic feet under my property here, I'm gonna get $1 for it. If I go into fourth pool and they're gonna give me 20 cents up front. And then out of the other 80 cents, they're going to say what it cost us for 13 cents to get this stuff out to the market.
Right.
So you're gonna get 67 cents coming back.
That's right. The way you put it. Yeah.
Well, that's what you said.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Is that 13% of the, is that 13% of the 100 or 13% of the
80?
It'd be 13% of the 80.
If it's 13% of the 80, then it's really only 10.5%.
No, it's 13% of 100, but it's taken out of the 80%.
That's right. The way you put it, all that is
100%. But the first 20% is free, no charge, so they take it out of the 80%. The 13% has to come out of the other production. So you come out way ahead on the deal.
Okay.
Well, here's a different way to look at it. If you go non-consent, if you make that election, and you go this route, and these economics prevail, and you're essentially going to end up with about an 87% royalty. The gas company is entitled to recover out of your income stream attributable to 100% drilling, completion, post-production costs and charges until it has recovered those costs. At which point, and there is no penalty beyond that, you immediately get 100% of the income stream attributable to your interest. It's called payout.
How long do you take them to recover their costs?
Well, it depends on how many people they fooled in the period.
Well, people they fooled, different people that started in.
Well, they can't deduct your cost. They're strictly limited to their cost that it costs to drill the hole.
If you ever know it's $5 million, you can go on for a long time.
Wouldn't that depend on how long before the well run is dry, how long it's producing?
Sure.
Okay. And the other question, once it stops, that particular well stops producing, is it like this lease that has been forced upon you is null and void? And you once more own those mineral rights even though there's nothing left?
Then they would have to stick to their contract when they do so. When you that you signed,
well, let me address that question. How does it work in practicality when you get forced pool? There's a number of different ways that lawyers recommend that you proceed on a forced pooling basis in order to protect the mineral rights. The most obvious and maybe an idealistic way to proceed is for John Barber, mineral owner, to execute a lease to John Barber. And then John Barber farms out the remaining 80% to Chesapeake, whoever it may be, subject to the forced pooling rule. Are you with me? And my lease is, my royalty is not subject to anything. But remember, your royalty interest that you reserve in that lease has to equal what the Railroad Commission said you're entitled to see. So if it's 20%, then it can only be 20%. You've executed a lease to yourself that contains all the protections that we would want it to protect from yourself, okay? No drilling in our neighborhoods, all the protections that we talked about before, the Pew Clause, that the production is only applicable to a certain depth. Everything beneath that debt is released at the end of the primary term to the lessor, the mineral owner. And then the lease is subject to the forced pooling order, and these economics then kick in. Just as if you were a true working interest number.
Okay, this well goes on for 6 months, does it produce enough? It has more such costs than it brought in? Who's responsible for it?
Well, technically, you.
So if you have a limited well, then you can be out of your own pocket.
I've tried to emphasize that. This type of forced pooling order in another part of the country was certainly not desirable. If they drill the dry hole, you got to come up with your 100% attributable to your 80. All
in one done?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. It would just give them the right to demand from you. You'd have to sign an AFE and an operating agreement. You know what that is?
Could you take your property?
I'm sorry?
Could you, they take your property?
That would be subject to the same principles of law. If it was your homestead, it would be exempt. Yes, sir.
We're talking about everybody except the length of the lease. What is it, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, what do you?
if you execute a lease to yourself under the fourth building situation?
I'm just, like we talked about, deciding as a group, we're going to file that for 2 years or 3 years. I mean, how long do you decide a lease? When's that lease up?
A lease is generally given for a period of 3 years, and then there's a particular option period that's tacked on for additional bonds. I'm sorry?
Do you have to take that?
Well, it's not up to you, it's up to the gas company. They're the ones that would implement the option. You certainly have the right to say, no, we're not giving you an option. In fact, you had the right to say, I'll give you a 6 month lease.
Well, it still works out in 5 years. Does the lease end there, or do they turn around and get more?
Well, that's why a lease is so important, and that's why it's so important to recognize that you go non-consent and you execute a lease to yourself, because that's when the term royalty is defined. And royalty is typically defined as production in paying quantities. What is paying quantities? I'm not sure what it is in a natural gas context, but for oil, it's less than $10 a barrel. Yes, sir.
Do we have an idea of how many have signed and how many have not signed in our area that we're talking about?
We do. It's on the sheet that was already passed out.
What percentage?
John, signing the lease that they put out in post-production, is this same thing there? If you sign that lease and the well dries, you still have to pay to make a cap in the well or help them frack it or something?
If you make that election, go non-consent as a working member.
Okay, what are you responsible for? With the post-production and you leave?
Yes, you're responsible for payment of the cost in the event the lease doesn't pay out in quantities sufficient.
So you're caught either way, huh?
Well, no, he's asking if you go ahead and sign, do you have to still commit yourself to that same?
If you sign the lease.
In terms of the lease that you signed, he's asking if he signs the lease, is he still going to be responsible?
No.
If he calls that post-production, then
the post-production will come out or?
And yeah, but what if it doesn't produce? Are you still responsible?
There's no post-production if it doesn't produce.
Well, remember that's subject to negotiation. This post-production costs and charges. Did you want to elaborate on your question?
No, I just want to know, how can you get a lease window where it's best for you? You want to be counting all the money if something goes wrong?
Well, that's why we're all here. So you'll maximize your opportunity to get the best deal possible, but you have to fully understand that going non-consent turns out to be a dry hole, and technically you're responsible for your share of the drilling cost.
Okay.
But that issue has never been, it's never been broken, as far as I know, by any gas company in the Barnett Shale.
I don't give up my retirement.
I'm not going to give up mine. They'd have to sue me.
Let me answer your question there.
Yes, sir.
To answer your question, right now, at the last update, we have 816.1432
approximately. Some guy had released that we got more.
So
what's the total acreage of the big cat? I mean, what are we talking about?
We figured that at one point. It was about 3,300, 3,200.
Yes, something like that.
About 3,200. And I'm talking about the area bounded on the south by I-30, by the north by the Kearney River, East Jays Parkway, and 820.
So we have 800 and 3,200.
Approximately 817 acres.
Okay.
That's unleased.
All the rest of it.
It'll be about 817 acres out of 3,200. Yes.
I guess what I wanted to make sure everybody understood is when it comes to forced pooling, it would be the last resort. But won't that also compromise the rate that you go at? Because that's the same thing that happened last time before, when we waited and waited and then it bottomed out, right? At the end. So if you wait too long, then you can compromise the amount that you get back as far as the rate.
I understand what you're saying. when you get out of bed in the morning, you have no guarantee that if you cross the street, you're not gonna get run over by Mack truck.
Yeah, but I just want to make sure, you know, if we wait too long as far as the force pooling, we can also compromise the rate.
I think the appropriate way to look at that, Tuck, is that you have to look, and no one really knows for sure, but you can talk to your neighbors who signed the lease. If they've leased up 65% of this acreage that we just talked about, and they had to pay prices from 2 years ago, anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 to get that acreage, how much money they had that's worthy of protection in this same area we're talking about? How much they could be willing to spend to protect it? Because those leases are gonna start expiring.
The leases are expiring on a daily basis.
Right, okay.
Are they expiring and being renewed, or are they just expiring?
They're expiring. They've gone through the 3 years plus the 2 years, and they're out of the program today.
I mean, I will very much admit, I'm a novice when it comes to this area. We celebrated our first year and our very first home in the neighborhood in a couple weeks. So all of this is not something I was expecting to deal with. I was expecting just to have to repair the chimney and mow my lawn and get rid of the weeds. And so far, only the chimney has got repaired. But okay. I barely know any of you guys, and so, and that's not a put down. I'm just saying I'm coming this very new. Okay. I understand the communication aspect because that's my job. I teach communication. The company that comes in that wants to buy my mineral rights is asking me to take their risk of drilling when they should be taking the risk.
I don't think so. If you sign the lease, they're taking the risk. You bear no expense.
But if they come up dry, I have to pay them for my part.
Let me explain.
Okay. So is there going to be a way that I can protect my property while protecting my neighbors' property by signing a lease? Is that what this whole commission is about? And forgive me if I sound like a complete idiot in this area, because I am.
Okay. I'm with them.
The power is in the numbers. If we stay together and we're talking 816, I only got 0.26, but if we all stick together, we have 816 acres that they're going to want.
Exactly right.
They're going to want to pay for that.
If we stick together, we can get what we want. They
want it to protect their rather sizable investment that they already have.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to walk away from millions and millions of dollars. Millions and millions. Now they're making millions and millions. Just look at the skyscrapers they're going to
that we thought the lease was just for 3 years. This has been a long time ago, almost 5 years ago. We thought the lease was for just 3 years, and there was just that one little clause that you noticed.
And a 2 year option.
And
you
had 2 years, so we were stuck for another 2 years, but ours is coming up.
Good for you.
To answer your question, the last thing on earth that the gas company want to do is force pooling.
Right.
Because it's very, very expensive to do so.
Okay.
I mean, it costs a bag of dollars.
We give them that option.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to give you a comment on the gas man, the land man, now that your contract is fixing to come due. Ours came, ran out of time out last year, year before there, and my neighbors and what at the same time. And they will put a lot of calls into you and try to get you to sign anything that has nothing to do with it. We've got some confusion on some paperwork here. We just need you to sign a little waiver or a little something to clarify a title or something. And they'll ask you for all kinds of things. And they'll be, you know, real nice about it. There's, you know, no problem. They can talk about they're going to extend you anything, and they'll tell you all kinds of whale tales.
They are not your friends.
And they're just trying to get your signature, and the advice I gave my neighbors down there was don't even talk to them, don't do anything, and they start bugging me. The last conversation I had was, okay, send me your paperwork, I'll have my lawyer look at it. And I never got anything or any other phone calls after that. So these guys, they're conniving, that's what they do.
That's a real good answer. That's a real good answer.
You can't come back after that company, the way that they have taught you and tricked you into doing it.
Well, it would depend upon the circumstances. Let me just say this. A landman can come up and even lie and tell you how he thought Scalway had his disadvantage. But don't stick a lace in front of you and say, sign here. And the law is going to close its mouth. It's called a parole evidence rule. Everything that was said to induce you to enter into that contract, goes right through the signature clause of that agreement.
Then they have done it.
If the oral con, if the written contract carries what he told you, you're stuck. You're out of the way. Let me comment on what this man said. I've said it before. What this meeting is all about, there's no smoke and mirrors here. It's about trying to help you make the most money possible you can for your minerals. They're your minerals. If you sign a lease in favor of the gas company, the minerals become the gas company. It's called a permeable fee. An oil and gas lease in Texas is essentially the same as a mineral deal. They essentially own your minerals in perpetuity, forever and ever, as long as they produce the wealth.
So it's not worth a deal for what they do.
Does anybody else have any questions? Yes, Tim.
Couple points. One thing you brought up as far as if we wait too long, prices will drop. Well, the economy goes through cycles. I'm sure you're old enough to realize you've gone through a few of these cycles. Same thing over the last 100 years, if you look at oil prices, gas prices, they've gone up and down, you know, and they're going to continue doing that.
Right.
And over time, they've gone up, you know, stair-stepping all the way up. So over time, it's always going to be higher and higher. So even if, like, this bombed out whilst prices recover, we hold out long enough.
Right.
You know, they'll definitely have to start talking more about money.
Well, I guess the main thing I was saying, the sports pool is like the last source of what they want to do. So it's
because
like
it cost them
right to the point.
It cost them to do that. And then the other thing is, once you sign over your mineral rights to someone else, those mineral right, the mineral right owner has more legal rights than the property owner, because they have the legal right to get the minerals regardless of what it does to that property. And your rights as a property owner are underneath the mineral right owner. So if they want, you know, to trash your property, they can do it to get those minerals. And it's happening in New Mexico, Colorado, other states. There's a documentary, Split Estate, covers it. Gasland has come out. It's another documentary. And they have run over people, destroyed their house, destroyed their property, destroyed cemeteries, just to get what they wanted.
Oh, and I wasn't saying that to deter anybody from horse pooling. I would just want to, you know, it's going to take some time. It's going to take time. If we get to the horse pool, it's going to take some time, and it's going to take everybody being patient.
And if your property isn't protected in your lease, your property isn't protected.
Quickly, it's getting light, and I don't want to hold you up, but I want you to understand another concept. If the oil company, if its criteria are met, and let's say, for example, they believe that they have 97% of the neighborhood leased up, the neighborhood where they want to drill, and they file the application for a pool you, we've already talked about that. Everybody essentially understand what your rights are. You go non-consent and go with dry hole, and technically you're responsible for your drilling costs. And what happens if you go non-consent? You report that to Star Telegram. You think you're going to have a field day passing that information out to other people who would like to go non-consent? Interesting question. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's worthy of being considered. The flip side of that is, and I want you to understand, the oil and gas company, is not the only one who can do a forced pooling petition. Say, for example, this is your land. You're unleased. That's why I put the U there. Property next door is leased. Property on the other side of you is leased. Property on the south of you is leased. Property on the north of you is leased. the land man will come in and say, we're going to drill around you. We're going to drill this track. Call it a drilling grid. We're going to drill this track.
Yeah. Okay.
That's more appropriate what the drilling battles are. We're just going to pull around. You can use forest pooling, and I want you to understand that. I mean, you have to be a lawyer to do it. But you can file a forest pooling application to outlaw your way from one unit or another. Think about it. Suppose this is a better well. Than this one. Does law require that you be pulled into the lesser? You get to pick and choose. So you can file a forced pulling, but this holds true for everyone in the neighborhood. If we fall prey to what the land men are saying, we'll just drill around it. This is the likelihood of what will happen. You can't have unleased acreage next to leased acreage that's been drilled because you're being drained. And you can force your way into that unit. If the oil and gas company can't come up with that 3% that I talked about earlier, and you want to elbow your way into one of these units, you can do it. And you're in. And you're in for 100%. You don't have to pay any drilling costs. So when the landman says, we're just going to pull around you, say thank you. I'll see you after a while. Pal, you want to come in for a cup of coffee before you go? It's nonsense. It's poppycock. It really works to your advantage. It's a ploy to get you to sign their pathetic lease. Straddle whatever it costs that you don't want to have to pay. So just please try and remember that what this gentleman said back, sitting in the back, all we're trying to do here is for you people to talk with your neighbors and please try and understand the concept of unity. That the more people we can get together to unify, to join forces, to argue for a favorable lease, because we'll be able to get exactly what we want, or we want to do business with them. And I want to end with one concept that I've stressed at every meeting I've been invited to attend. Your minerals are worth more in the ground, unleased, than leased. If you lease them, you lease them on your terms, what you want. If they're unleased, they can't be drilled, they can't be explored, they're yours in perpetuity. But make no mistake about it, once you sign a lease, that's it. It's gone.
You lose control.
Well, the terms are equally as important as in fact signing brothers on the market. You know, the safety precautions.
Yeah, the safety of the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Yeah, now, let me make that comment. Please don't get the wrong impression. I don't want anyone to get the impression that I'm anti-lease. Because if you can get a lease on your terms that you can agree to, that you can live with all the benefits and all the protections that you want to protect your neighborhood, and we've heard stories, you can read about them, where oil and gas companies have put in a park for the benefit of the neighborhood at their expense. Maybe there's beautification projects that could be undertaken. I don't know. But as a group, you're entitled to ask for those things. So what I'm trying to say to you is, if you can get all the benefits and protections codified into a lease agreement with an adequate Q clause where you've got all the protections that you need, you may be better off. Because, and the reason being, is it eliminates what this gentleman was talking about. What if you go non-consent, you're subject to a forced building order, you fall prey to this example we gave a minute ago, and they drill and they only recover about 15% of their drilling costs and the well runs dry. And you're responsible, technically, subject to a lawsuit for paying your proportionate share of the drilling costs and expenses. So if you weigh in the balance, that scenario that this gentleman talked about, versus the execution of an oil and gas lease with all the benefits and protections that you want, I think you'll find in the long run that the left hand's going to outweigh the right. The right hand sounds real good. It's kind of a pie in the sky kind of attitude. But make no mistake about it, I'm not aware of any dry holes that have been drilled in Barnett Shale. It's just a question. Some wells are better than others. When I hear stories about the well having been abandoned, there has to be a technical reason why.
All wells that pour saltwater in, how do they recover gas?
I'm sorry?
you have an oil well that pours salt water in to get it up, to get before they pour gas out by salt water also?
Well, they have different, it's called a hydraulic technique. Glass bead particles that they blow in formation with some kind of chemical substance. That's what causes the ground to shake in the center.